Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 6th. Joining us this morning, actually, a guy taking a break and escaping the office, Bill McCauley.
Yeah. So this is what it's like during the daytime?
Sunrise.
Oh, that's pretty weird.
Well, you know, you have that high power corner office there with the shadowed glass.
Yeah, I turn.
It's kind of tough to see.
I turn those blinds completely shut because what goes on the corner in outside my office is often distracting. So
yeah, well, we kind of talked with Police Chief Watson about that yesterday.
Ah,
so
okay, yeah, there are some distractions out there.
Yeah. So you're surviving thus far.
Yeah, I mean, I on a personal note, I had pneumonia at the end of January, and that didn't help getting going. So I've kind of lost some time. I'm having trouble making up. But
and I had nothing to do with it.
You had nothing to do? No.
Good.
yeah. So anyway, if you had it and I got it, it was independent. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're an independent kind of guy, there we go.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. So have you been following the news at all?
Yeah. I heard the Olympics are going to start soon.
Yeah. You know, I'll give you a really good odds on the American winning the curling.
Really?
The team competition,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I know those Canadians are really tough this year.
Yeah. I'm vaguely aware of stuff, yes.
Good, okay. Yeah. What are you seeing as far as trends with the taxes? Is there still curiosity about it? The novelty certainly is kind of waned as some of the other discussions around tariffs have kind of taken a higher priority. But are you sensing that, are people kind of getting accustomed to and calmed down a little bit with the new tax approach?
I think so. I think there's probably less, this is again from my perspective, which is limited, but I think there's probably a little less, panic's not a good word. I think there's a little less distress, you know, about, you know, what's going to happen and what's going to happen to me. I mean, people are starting to see their withholding be stepped up and or stepped down, and so their checks are a little bigger. And you know, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean what's going to happen at the end of the year will be exactly the same as the year before. You know, there's some variables in there that we can kick around. But so yeah, I think people are beginning to get a little more comfortable with the law change, and I emailed a client last night. It was, you know, 8:30, so I didn't want to call him, and so I sent him an email and said, "Hey, and by the way, you know, your tax is going to be down by X amount next year." And I got an email fired back. Why would my taxes go down? I'm like, well, there is this new law, so.
You didn't pounce on it and say because you're tax preparer?
Yeah, because I am that good.
Yes, exactly. You're right. You must have been a little rummy at that time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was 8:30. Yeah, it's like, okay, I just want to go home.
Had the opportunity there to pounce and you missed.
Yeah. Imagine that. Me miss a moment to be witty.
Yeah, oh boy.
Yeah.
Tax planning. Yeah. Are you getting a sense that there's going to be more of a need? Or less of a need, or just a different focus?
I think a lot more of a need this year. And so I think, you know, we've got some people we're trying to work with in season because they've got some decisions they probably need to be making sooner than later. And we've got other people.
Really? So yeah. Quickly now?
Yeah. And then we've got other people that we're kind of pointing to and saying, these are the kinds of things we want to see after the busy season so we can help you make sure that you're, you know, don't have any unintended surprises at the end of the year. And so, yeah, so we've got, there's multiple tracks going, but, you know, a lot of times for some of our business clients, there's some decisions they need to be making now because it's going to affect the whole year. And you
just
want
lead time?
Yeah. And it's structuring compensation and things of that nature may require a little more, a little different thought this year. And so, you know, we were trying to work with our clients and say, look, you know, you've got this coming and, you know, we see this in your situation based on our understanding of the new tax law. We think maybe you want to take step A or step B to try to, and it's might in their case, it might be better to do it now as opposed to trying to do it, towards the middle of the year.
Have you sensed any changes at either state levels? Arizona, California, Oregon, Nevada, we won't worry too much about.
I don't know particularly what the what Some states are more AGI states, you know, with, you know, that you kind of start with the federal and you calculate your, and California sort of does that too, but California always, conformity and California don't often go hand in hand. They'll pick and choose the pieces they want to conform to, and inevitably, a lot of those will be revenue enhanced. The revenue enhancing changes they tend to embrace. The ones that don't enhance
those
revenue,
those are bear hugs, right? The embrace, yeah.
The ones that don't, they tend to not embrace, and sometimes, and that's unfortunately created a lot of undue complexity. And it's really, you know, depending on your attitude. I mean, I understand. Look, the government, running the government's not easy. Don't get me wrong. I don't run one. But you know, one of our governmental priorities should be not making things more difficult on our citizenry, and we have, and we continue to do that. And even when the crisis goes away, they use the crisis to change things, and then they don't say, oh, well, the crisis has passed. You know, I mean, we're not in a budget crisis now, but a lot of the steps we took under that budget crisis, particularly those that I think were kind of unfair to taxpayers, the state hasn't undone them, and shame on them. I mean, really.
Yeah, unwinding would seem to be part of it, and I think that's why a lot of folks push towards sunset laws.
Yeah,
with everything, it's going to be sunsetted after 2 years. We'll mm-hmm. revisit it, mm-hmm. and if we need to continue it, we will at that point. And if we don't, no action is needed.
Yeah, I think there's some wisdom in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey,
who knew?
Well, you still must be rummy from last night.
Yeah. Or this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I should probably just say graciously, thank you very much. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. We've got our topics for the show now, sir.
We do.
Yes, we do. So let's talk about the new taxes and the changes in the payroll tax and mm-hmm. what you're starting to see. Last time you said that you were looking at a parallel. You were doing 2017, but then also projecting 2018 rules into 2017. What's the diff?
Right.
What's your sense? What's
and
the
it's
diff?
An imperfect It's still an imperfect calculation because there's things we don't know for sure. We don't know, as an example, there's a new 20% pass-through deduction for pass-through businesses. We're not entirely sure how it's going to apply to different entities. So it makes it a little – but for Bob – pick Bob Smith, who works for a wage and has some interest income and maybe a few other little things or whatever. That one's, you know, and they itemize their deductions and they have a couple of kids and they're in college. That one's pretty easy to take a look and say, okay, well, this is what we think you're going to be. This is where we think you're going to move to next year.
So is Bob winning? Is Bob happy? Just different?
I would say that on balance, Bob is winning. We have seen losers. We've seen, but I think on balance, what I'm seeing is significantly more winners than losers.
Are the losers because of a specific lack of something?
Like yeah.
not having kids in college.
They tend to fit into categories. You're right. I mean, there are some things. Some of the people who are losers, as an example, are going to pay a little more tax. Are people that have a really high property tax burden. I can think of a taxpayer who's got a house that was inherited and the property taxes, for whatever reason, they didn't get a waiver on the property taxes when the inheritance occurred, and the property taxes are staggeringly high. So his property tax deduction and his state income tax deduction is really, really high. and that's going to be capped for him at $10,000 next year. Well, shoot, he has $10,000 of property taxes, let alone his state income tax. So in his case, this guy that I'm thinking about, he might be in a situation where he owes $500 or $600 more under the new law. But we're also seeing people where it cuts, you know, probably on balance, more people where it cuts the other way. It's probably what I've seen is very few people where there's a significant, in what I would characterize as a significant increase in their tax liability. But I've seen some people with some significant projected decreases in their tax liability. And those folks are often people who are paying alternative minimum tax last year. Meaning 27 for their 2017 return. 2018, they probably won't be in the AMT, even though they're probably losing some state income tax deductions. And we're seeing that tends to be a win for people.
What about folks who are on fixed income or retired? Are they seeing any kind of shift?
Yes. I mean, I think in general, I'm seeing a savings for people. It depends on what they have for itemized deductions in many cases.
Well,
so
if you have a bunch of property,
if you have,
and you're retired,
yeah. So it depends a little bit on what you're, you know, how you fit. Unfortunately, it's very difficult for me to just throw out there and say somebody who looks like, you know, Brian Papstein is going to have this consequence. We have to look.
Cops are chasing you, the FBI.
Yeah. Needs tall doorways.
Right. Yeah.
So is that why you always have a Band-Aid on your forehead?
Yeah. And somehow I got ink on the top of my head. I mean, that's never under doorways. I have no idea.
Well, the likelihood is it wasn't somebody else who got it there.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's even more disturbing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe I was scratching my head.
Yeah, don't scratch your head with your pen.
Yeah.
Words to live by. Do not scratch your head with your pen, particularly if you're not blessed with an abundance of hair.
Oh, my. So there's a general trend you're seeing.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what folks are looking for. Is there anything that is concerning that you're seeing in the general trends other than the property tax?
Well, I think the people who have a lot of kids, there's going to be some additional credits that are more likely to be allowed. We tend to see those being kind of offsetting. Keep in mind, we each get a $4,050 personal exemption on our tax return. So if a married couple files, they get an exemption under 2017 law of $8,100 unless it's phased out because their income's too high. But the all of us would get that. Now, if you have four kids, you're now at $24,300 of personal exemptions. Those go away next year. There are no personal exemptions in 2018. So, but there are some additional child credits. But if the kids are in school, depending on where your income fits, you might be worse off under the new law because you may not get their personal exemption, but your income may be too high to get the benefits for education credits or the tuition deduction.
In the past, we heard about marriage penalty.
Yeah.
Does this adjustment eliminate that or make it neutral?
It changes it, there's no doubt. And in some cases, it kind of cuts both ways depending on facts and circumstances. We definitely see, as an example, the cap on state income taxes and local taxes at $10,000 for 2018. It's the same for individuals for single persons as it is for a married couple. So that tends to enforce a bit of a marriage penalty for those folks.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley, CPA. May as well just say what you are, I guess, huh?
Counter of beans?
Yeah. Well, C could be counter.
Yeah.
We got to figure out what PA means.
Yeah. See, I was sitting in a meeting one time.
People's assets. How's that?
Yeah. There you go. I was sitting in a meeting one time, and somebody, it was near Halloween, and somebody, there was little bags of M&Ms. So I opened the little bag of M&Ms, and I was sitting there when the meeting was going on, and I'd sorted them by color, and I was eating them by color, and somebody looked at me and laughed at me like, and I'm like, that's normal. That's how normal people eat M&Ms. They don't eat them just indiscriminately. Anyway, so sorry.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting Redeck and by American Ag Credit.
So I might,
who might be sympathetic towards the counting and the separating of the M&Ms.
So I might not be a counter of beans, but I'll definitely count my M&Ms.
Oh, boy. You had mentioned in the opening segment tax planning is going to become more of an issue for a larger percentage of the population.
Yeah.
Okay. And for this one, we'll talk about biz in the next segment, but for this one, it's just regular guy and gal. Yeah. What are some of the things that you're seeing that we ought to start either considering or sitting down and talking to whoever helps us plan things out for this calendar year?
Well, I think we're now at a point where a lot of taxpayers have to start thinking about bunching deductions. Because the standard deduction is now $24,000, we've got a lot of taxpayers who are close to that on a given year, you know, that their itemized deductions are going to be really close to standard. So we're thinking that, and we're not alone. I mean, people, you know, the new conventional wisdom is, hey, why don't you try to bunch those deductions so that instead of doing, you know, you do all your charitable contributions in one year, kind of go light the next year and then go heavy again the following year.
Off on, off on, heavy light, heavy light.
And we can do some of that with other things too. Charitable contributions are going to be a really good one because they're still fully deductibles and itemized deductions. So, you know, it's going
to be paying attention to threshold points.
But if you normally have $30,000 of itemized deductions under the new law, bunching probably isn't going to matter one way or the other. You're going to get benefit every year. But if you're going to be, if by taking a strategy we can have 28,000 this year and 20,000 the following year, in the 20,000 year we're going to get the $24,000 standard deduction, and then, but we've pushed 4,000 or whatever into a succeeding or preceding year with the idea that we're going to try to bunch. And we did that with a lot of our clients. We made a lot of phone calls between Christmas and New Year's encouraging clients to take some steps to be, with this new law kind of coming in for 2018. We encouraged a lot of people to pay some expenses in 2017 because we were concerned they weren't going to have benefit in 2018.
It would be intriguing, I think, from the nonprofit receiver end.
Yeah, it's
to make those overtures to say, okay, guys, we're going to have two groups. We're going to have the A group and the B group. We don't need everybody bunching the first year because while it'll be a great year for us, year two, not so great.
Well, I think what we don't know is how the law changes are going to affect behavior, particularly relating to charitable contributions. I think a lot of people make charitable contributions because they believe where they're giving the money. They don't do it for the tax benefit. So those folks, I think, are going to continue to give even if it doesn't really benefit them that much. You know, I think that's going to be pretty common for people who are going to look and go, gee, I'm not really itemizing in any year.
And yet
I have a lot of strong feelings, you know, just because I don't get a tax deduction. I mean, it's embedded in that standard deduction. Just because I don't get a tax deduction doesn't mean I don't want to do help the organizations I believe in do the good work that they do. But we don't, you know, that's the challenge with any of these things is having something, a model that actually predicts human behavior. And we just don't know. And if I were a not-for-profit, that would keep me. I mean, I wouldn't say it would. If I were running one, I'm not saying it would keep me up at night, but it would be one of those. It'd be up there on my concerns list. Is what's going to happen? Especially, I mean, certain not-for-profits are not driven by donors, or some not-for-profits. I'm on the board of the blood bank. We're driven by donors, but they donate blood, not right, cash,
yeah,
mostly.
Yeah, your currency is a little different.
Yeah, so it's a different deal. So people aren't going to get a tax deduction for their blood donation. Oh, I've had a few people ask me. But the point is that every not-for-profit is going to be a little different place. Some of them that have income streams that maybe are more tied to grants are probably not going to see that volatility other than the normal volatility associated with what they're probably used to with, you know, writing and receiving grants. But for organizations that are driven largely by generosity,
churches,
churches are yeah, the easiest one to look at. But it's not just churches. For those organizations, we don't know. And I think a lot of the churches are going to be fine because people give to churches because of other reasons besides a tax deduction.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We will be back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with an itchy Bill McCauley.
Itchy.
Getting ready to get back, huh?
Got to get at it, man.
Got to hit that calculator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Business trends with the new tech stuff. What are you seeing for business planning other than time is a big concern?
Time's an issue because you if there's things that need to happen, it's probably going to be easier the sooner you know, businesses get moving on some of this stuff, the better it's going to be. Right now, we're still trying to understand this pass-through deduction and how it's fully going to work. Right, as we understand it, based on the most recent courses we've taken, it's going to be allowed for all of income earned by certain people who are sole proprietors, as opposed to a portion of the income in a partnership. Because, as an example, a partner in a partnership who receives a guaranteed payment for their efforts, so they get paid X amount for a set salary. It isn't a W-2 salary, but it's a salary and it goes in as an expense in the partnership. That's going to reduce the amount of income that's available that gets this 20% pass-through deduction, but not for an individual. So we're trying to sort this stuff out and figure out, we had clients who were looking at making entity changes and we're going, wait a minute, we got to think this through. Do you really want to leave where you are right now? Because that may be a sweet spot. The other problem we have with all this planning is the concept of technical corrections. Somewhere along the line, there will be a technical corrections bill. They will true some stuff up, and we don't know what that will include. We didn't know what was going to be in the bill that passed more than, a week or two before it all passed. And even then, we didn't really, it was really negotiated at the 11th hour, and this went in and that went out. And, there's a lot of uncertainty there. And we're still, there's a certain clench factor to the idea that you want to make hard and fast decisions knowing that there are going to be some changes coming. So we have to do a good job. It's our responsibility to communicate to clients, look, this is what we see, but this is what could change. These are the kinds of things that might change. But ultimately, we want to help people make the best decisions they can. And that's going to be in structuring compensation is one of the big elements that people are going to have to choose.
To avoid a tidal wave 5 weeks away from the deadline that you're playing with, can we wait till May 1st?
Yeah, I think so. We've got some of our clients, we've encouraged them to make changes right away, and they're making changes. The changes have already been made that we think make sense for their situation. So we're not going to hold back in our case if we think there's something you ought to be doing. But yeah, there's still time.
It's not to the sit down, the appointment, taking the 2 hours and going through it all. I would think this this time of the year, that's kind of tough to sit down with their financial advisors.
It's going to be tough for most of us who are in this profession. It's going to be, you know, most of us are pretty busy and really adding, you know, we generally have a little more capacity for this and that, but adding a lot on is really problematic for most of us. And so people need to be patient with their professionals, understanding that they're going to be doing the best they can, but they're balancing a lot, juggling a lot of balls right now.
If they don't answer the phone within two rings, that's okay.
Yeah. If they don't get the phone call made return until the end of day, or sometimes
or 8:30
the next morning or whatever. Yeah, at 8:30 at night. Yeah, that's a welcome one.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like being at home at 8:30 and getting a call from me.
Yeah. Well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
I figure it would be extraordinary enough that it might be worth answering. Something's on fire. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.